From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump, in an unexpected tweet on Tuesday morning, announced a major reshuffle of government agency heads, starting with the firing of State Secretary Rex Tillerson. Tillerson would be replaced by CIA Director Mike Pompeo. And then Trump wrote, Gina Haspel will become the new director of the CIA and the first woman so chosen. But who is Gina Haspel? According to news reports following the surprise announcement, Haspel was a key figure in the CIA under the Bush administration. The New York Times said she is known for, quote, her deep involvement in the agency's counterterrorism operations and showed her willingness to take part in the agency's rendition, detention, and interrogation program. In other words, Haspel was part of the CIA's brutal torture program, and now she may be confirmed as the new leader of that agency. My guest is Maha Hilal. She is the Michael Ratner Middle East Fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies and a co-principal investigator with the Torture Treatment Initiative at Tulane University. Welcome to the program, Maha.
Thank you, Sonali.
So we are looking at the confirmation hearing, which I'm assuming will be coming up in the next several weeks, of a woman we don't know very much about. But those who followed the Bush-era torture program have probably seen her name. Can you expand on the role that Gina Haspel apparently played in the so-called enhanced interrogation techniques, part of the extraordinary rendition program, these words that essentially amount to the Bush-era torture program during the years after 9/11?
Sure. So I think, the first thing I want to say is to reiterate how destructive and egregious the violations that of torture that were committed by the CIA. And the fact that now we have Gina Haspel, who is going to potentially be promoted to be the director of the CIA, despite her long career in the CIA. Reports have said that she oversaw specifically the torture of both Abu Zubaydah and Abdulrahim and Nashiri. And as many of you probably know, Abu Zubaydah was waterboarded about 83 times in CIA custody. So this is a woman who potentially directly oversaw much of this egregious torture. And in addition to the torture that she oversaw, she's also alleged to have asked for the video evidence of the interrogation and torture to be destroyed. So this is a woman who not only endorses the practice of torture, but also is promoting the idea that there should be no accountability by destroying any evidence that exists to, not that we need that much more evidence at this point of CIA torture, but to destroy the evidence that would possibly lead to people being held accountable is pretty egregious and is very disconcerting. Mm.
She is currently the deputy director of the CIA. The Times article that I'd mentioned says that one of the instances, just to showcase her involvement, one of the instances was that she was dispatched by the CIA to oversee a secret prison in Thailand just over a year after the September 11th attacks. And agency contractors, in their frantic hunt for the conspirators they were looking for, waterboarded an Al-Qaeda suspect three times, subjected him to brutal interrogation techniques. So when you say she might have directly overseen, would you say that, as far as you can tell, she might have literally been standing in the room when suspects, when detainees were waterboarded and tortured physically?
Yeah, absolutely. And there was a report that specifically said she oversaw the torture directly and said to one of the prisoners, quote, I like the way you're drooling. It adds realism. I'm almost buying it. You wouldn't think a grown man would do that. So this is someone who's directly overseeing torture and partaking in the process.
Where did that quote come from that you just mentioned?
So the quote was from a book that James Mitchell, who was one of the psychologists who spearheaded and designed the CIA's torture program called Enhanced Interrogation Inside the Minds and Motives of the Islamic Terrorists Trying to Destroy America. So this is what he alleges to have happened.
Hmm. And so this is a quote that we can attribute to Gina Haspel. As far as you can tell, she approved of this method, right?
Yes, as far as I can tell.
Now,
And
how
then
far?
let me add just one thing, which is to say that this is obviously a system-wide problem, right? So right now we're talking about Gina Haspel as an individual who oversaw torture, but clearly torture is a systemic abuse that has been endorsed and promoted by the CIA, not just in the course of the war on terror, but for many decades past in the US.
Right, no, that's an absolutely important aspect to mention. And of course, what happened under the Bush years was that the idea of torture became whitewashed, right? That the government started using these euphemisms because knowing that torture is illegal under international law, it began using the euphemisms of enhanced interrogation techniques to describe these methods, such as waterboarding. But isn't it accepted today that that was torture?
Yeah, it is. It is accepted today that it was torture, and something that I think is particularly important when we're talking about the ways in which the Bush administration tried to modify the definition of torture is that it was about Muslims specifically being tortured. It was about a group, a community of people who had been so dehumanized that using these brutal techniques on them was deemed acceptable. So part of the issue is not only that the definition of torture was redefined, but also that it was being used on a group that people didn't consider human and people don't consider human. Otherwise, presumably, there would be a lot more outrage in terms of what we have seen. And when it comes to the CIA torture specifically, there are numerous reports, including the report itself, the unclassified version, that documents pretty extensively much of the gruesome torture. And this includes, for example, not just the waterboarding, but rectal feeding, prisoners being forced to stand on a broken leg. Another prisoner had his eye removed. Another prisoner was chained to the floor and died of hypothermia. So these are very brutal techniques that have been used by the CIA.
Now, there was in the during the Obama years an attempt by the government to hold the CIA accountable, the famous CIA report, classified report produced by the Senate Intelligence Committee, overseen by California Senator Dianne Feinstein. There's a big tussle over this report, whether it could be made public or not. The CIA, we know, resisted greatly, even tried to spy on lawmakers themselves. And now the Senate, including Senator Dianne Feinstein, will have the opportunity to directly question Gina Haspel during her Senate confirmation hearings. What do you expect will happen during her confirmation hearings? Will she be asked to answer to the role that she played in the torture program?
I think she'll absolutely be asked to answer about her role. And the troubling thing here is that I suspect that nonetheless she will still become the director of the CIA. And really, the root of the problem is the fact that there is no accountability for torture by US government officials. That is the fundamental problem. So, for all the nomination hearings we've had, where candidates are asked very critical questions, seemingly to produce a narrative or a discourse that actually disrupt their ability to get some sort of leadership position, it doesn't actually change anything because there is no accountability. I mean, we're talking about a woman who oversaw torture, and rather than being prosecuted, she's being nominated to lead the CIA.
Some have said that had President Obama pursued prosecution of people involved in the torture program, Gina Haspel might be risking jail time today instead of being potentially at the head of the CIA. What do you think?
I think that's absolutely correct. And, Obama pretty much set up the precedent of, he talked about looking forwards, not backwards, right? And that was very much his philosophy. And, I was working on a piece and thinking about what does that actually mean? And so not only does it mean something for the people that have already overseen the torture, but it's also a form of proactive impunity in that it means that Obama is setting the groundwork for him also not to be prosecuted for any torture that happened under his administration. And there is still torture that is happening. I don't think that we need these multiple reports to know that US government officials are torturing people, whether we're talking about the CIA black sites or Guantanamo Bay.
What about the fact that Democrats, sadly, time and again, end up not staying true to their ideals? I mean, the Senate Intelligence Committee under Obama attempted to hold the CIA accountable, didn't get very far. Now, someone like Dianne Feinstein has the opportunity to block Gina Haspel's approval to lead the CIA. Instead, she's remained silent on whether she would block the nomination. And then on Tuesday, this is what she told press. She said, Senator Dianne Feinstein said that she has worked together with Haspel since Haspel became deputy director. And she said, since my concerns were raised over the torture situation, I have met with her, meaning Haspel, extensively talked with her. She has been, I believe, a good deputy director. She seems to have the confidence of the agency, which is good. So now Dianne Feinstein is okay with somebody who directly oversaw torture of suspects as being capable of leading the CIA. This, you know, the part, the a person who is part of the program that Dianne Feinstein would have had access to that internal CIA documentation of the torture program. What do you make of this?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, when it comes to the crime of torture and any sort of accountability process in the government, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I mean, I personally don't expect much from the Democrats except to ask a few critical questions, but to nonetheless, allow her to move forward in leading the CIA. I mean, it's not surprising that Dianne Feinstein would be either silent or, indicate to some extent that she plans to support her leadership. I mean, this is how the government works, right? It's about hiding the sins of your fellow politicians and being able to move forward with this idea that, this was just a mistake, right? This wasn't part of a systemic plan to brutalize and criminalize and demonize Muslims. So I mean, to be honest, I'm not very surprised about a Dianne Feinstein's reaction. And it's kind of depressing after all this time, we're talking about 16 years that torture has been going on, that no one has been held accountable except for a few people from the Abu Ghraib scandal who happen to be at the bottom of the ladder. So the prosecution only really, when it comes down to it, is only about prosecuting those at the very bottom.
And a couple of quotes from other lawmakers who take a better position than Senator Dianne Feinstein. Ron Wyden, Oregon Democrat, said in her statement that Gina Haspel's background makes her, quote, unsuitable for the position. He serves on the Select Committee on Intelligence, and he says he opposes her nomination. He says that information about her should be declassified. I think it's really a cover-up, and it hasn't been declassified. And then Republican Senator John McCain, who knows a thing or two about torture, having been personally tortured while he served in a war. He said Ms. Haspel needs to explain the nature and extent of her involvement in the CIA's interrogation program during the confirmation process. He said, I know the Senate will do its job in examining Ms. Haspel's record as well as her beliefs about torture and her approach to current law. He said that the U.S. torture of detainees was one of the darkest chapters in American history. Now, with this nomination, what do you expect will happen under Trump? A president who has built his presidency, who has built his position in government on largely on Islamophobia.
Well, I want to come first back to the quote where Wyden talked about her nomination being or her being unsuitable for this position. I mean, this is not just about being unsuitable. This is about overseeing torture. This is about overseeing a crime, right? This torture is a crime. So even the type of wording that's used, even if you're not going to support her, you're not talking about prosecuting her, which is actually what should happen because she oversaw torture. And this narrative that continues to be so pervasive around, the darkest chapters of American history, this is not who we are. This is exactly who we are. And the reason we know this is not only because historians have documented this for a long time, but because there's also no accountability, right? And the fact that we have no accountability means it can continue happening. So I'm not exactly sure what will happen with the nomination, but what I do know what will happen is that, Muslim victims in the war on terror, and specifically those who have been tortured by the CIA, will continue to be decentered. The Islamophobia analysis will be removed from the equation, and the ways in which Muslims have been dehumanized will not be given consideration. And even the semi-positive rhetoric about, this is a crime or this is an abuse, it tends to still focus on what it has done to our country's reputation or how it may have harmed American lives. Nothing about how it harmed and destroyed hundreds of Muslim men's lives. And I think that that point bears repeating time and time again.
And, you know, it's never just the people directly being impacted. It's their families, their communities, the symbolic blow to the community as a whole when they see others that look like them, practice the same religion as them being dehumanized. It makes the entire community feel dehumanized by this sort of a program, not just here in the U.S., but around the world, of course. So we have a person who the ACLU said was up to her eyeballs in torture, now potentially leading the CIA, which is an agency with an extremely sordid history. The Democrats really have nothing to lose by opposing her. But, you know, top-ranking Democrats like Feinstein will likely confirm her, probably because under Trump, they want to ingratiate themselves with the intelligence community. That's the only thing I can think of in terms of what they have to gain from confirming Gina Haspel's nomination. At the White House sits a person who feels like he's accountable to no one. At the same time, Maha, we are expanding the war on terror, right? The U.S. is expanding its operations in Syria. It's expanding. Trump has said that he's going to keep Guantanamo open. Are we going to see a revival of the torture program? And did it even ever really end?
You know, I am quite worried, given the rhetoric that President Trump has used. And I want to quick go back to your prior question. And just to say that, you know, this presidency has been entirely anti-Muslim and Islamophobic at its core. So if the Democrats are really about, you know, equality, equity, non-prejudice, all of these things, then this actually should be quite an opportunity to oppose any sort of Islamophobic policies that have been perpetuated or in which Trump is proposing. So, I mean, the fact that they probably still will not have any backbone to oppose this nomination, despite the fact that Islamophobia is now front and center, despite whether or not they want to refer to it as Islamophobia, is pretty troubling. In terms of, you know, what Trump intends to do, he's talked about obviously his executive order reversed President Obama's, saying that he will indeed keep Guantanamo open, which is not surprising. All of us who have been doing advocacy around Guantanamo and anti-torture work pretty much expected this to happen. And I think what's really important here is the symbolic role of places like Guantanamo and the torture that happens within. And it's very symbolic because it's sort of like this threat to Muslims. Whenever Muslims are accused of perpetrating some act of violence, it's now you're going to be sent to Guantanamo, right? We can't adjudicate your case in the United States. We need an entirely separate system of justice because your identity as Muslim somehow means that your crimes are somehow much more egregious than the crimes of others. So the use of Guantanamo, whether or not Trump actually puts new prisoners in there, is just this thing that's designed to threaten and scare Muslims.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Maha, and for the work that you're doing to call attention to the torture program. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sonali.
Maha Hilal is a Michael Ratner Middle East Fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies and a co-principal investigator with a torture treatment initiative at Tulane University. We've been discussing Trump's nomination of Gina Haspel to lead the CIA. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.